This is Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najel, and we're going to be talking to Taylor K. Phillips about her cool new book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. Taylor is an Emmy Award-winning writer and comedian originally from Kansas City, Missouri. Currently, she works for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on HBO. Are you wondering what some of those phrases are in this Midwestern magazine or magazine book and what they really mean? Well, give us a call. What phrase do you like to use? The number 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Hi, Taylor.
Hi, how are you? It's so good to be here.
Thank you for being with us. And so is it Missouri or is it Missouri?
So I say Missouri, and okay. Until I left, I was convinced that Missouri was something imposed upon us by people from other states. But my friends in St. Louis disabused me of that notion, so I am Team Missouri, but there is, I suppose, an equally valid Team Missouri.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like Wisconsin, you know, we're kind of divided between drinking fountain and bubbler, so.
Yes. Exactly. We do soda and pop. There's not one.
We do too.
Yep.
Exactly. So although we're alike, we're not necessarily the same, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're over living on one of the coasts these days, east, right?
I am. I am in Harlem, New York City.
Ah, cool. So how do people there react to your Midwesternness, for lack of a better word?
It's so funny. I do feel like I am now at a point after living here for 7 years where I'm straddling both worlds. So I'm very Midwestern in New York and incredibly New York in the Midwest. So, you know, in New York, if I go into a coffee shop and I'm bubbly and I'm like, hey, how's it going? Oh my gosh, love your necklace. You know, everyone is sometimes taken aback and also wants me to pick up the pace. But also when I go to a coffee shop in Missouri, they have even more questions for me. And I'm a little bit like, well, let's speed this up. So I'm moving at a breakneck pace in Missouri and too slow and too bubbly and too personable sometimes in New York.
Well, I can understand that being a problem, I guess, for some people. But it's kind of nice to have both of those point of views, right? I'm sure for what you do, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Oh, it's so lovely because it does, you know, it makes people, you know, people are happy and they ask questions and it feels very gratifying to feel defined in my identity up here.
Sure.
It's like, I am a Midwesterner and I can spot the other ones a mile away.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's amazing, isn't it? So who did you write this wonderful little book for?
Oh, what a lovely question. I wrote this book there are parts of this book that I think are for everyone, but I wrote it for, more than anything, Midwesterners who are proud of who and what they are and how they behave, no matter where they are, whether they're still there happily, whether they have happily moved other places, whether they have unhappily moved other places and are missing home. And I really wrote this book. I had a couple of vendettas, and which is the New York side of me had some vendettas.
Yes.
I had some scores to settle. And the big one that meant a lot to me that I said from the very beginning is when I would go into bookstores and I would pick up books about the United States or about, you know, food in each state, I would ravenously go through and look for what they had to say about Missouri. And so many times these books would be like, Nebraska counts as the whole Midwest. Or like, we there's a food in St. Louis that we like, or the entire Midwest eats Skyline chili. And coming at this book, I was like, every single Midwestern state gets its profile, gets its day in the sun.
I love that. I thought that was such a really good idea. And, you know, I do the same thing. It's like I look at a national magazine and they're looking at food somewhere and I'm looking through. I'm like, oh, well, there's Chicago. You know, that's
exactly
it. 14
exactly.
Places on the East or West Coast in Chicago. So, well, yeah.
Yeah. And I went through a couple of the states, and I know for Missouri, whenever I go through, I want to see if they've mentioned Arthur Bryant's. And like for Wisconsin, my friends who had lived in Wisconsin, you know, I hope that when people like see the shout out to Spotted Cow or, you know, other, or the Wisconsin Old Fashioned, that they say, oh, okay, she wasn't, you know, she wasn't just doing this for clicks. She knows a little bit about what we're about.
Right. So are you familiar with Charlie Behrens by any chance from the...
I am.
Oh, good.
I don't know him personally. But like, of course, in the Midwestern comedy world, he is the guy. He is the Midwestern comedian. And I am the Midwesterner who moved to New York and I'm very proud of my book. But
well, he moved to California first and came back. So, you know,
right.
but yeah, I mean, a lot of the stuff that he does is very similar to this, and he kind of gets the Midwest, you know. So let's tell people who don't have the book in their hand, what are the Midwestern states that you put in this book? I know it varies.
But. Yes, it varies. What I have done, which is a Midwestern strategy in a couple of places, including answering the question, is it appropriate for kids, which is also in the book, is I have designated this answer to a third party so that no one can get mad at me, which is the U.S. Census and the Encyclopedia Britannica, and like most of my friends' dads have said that it is the 12 states of, ooh, let's see if I can do it without looking, Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio, Wisconsin.
Did you say Nebraska?
I said Nebraska.
Okay. Kansas?
Iowa, Indiana, Kansas. and Minnesota and Michigan. Oh, I forgot the
Minnesota,
M's.
Michigan.
I skipped the M's over.
The
M's. I was too far down. I was too far south. Yeah. Minnesota and Michigan.
Well, I grew up in Michigan, and I can attest that your Michigan information is also correct.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's great. Although I was from the UP, so it's kind of a different state altogether. But it's very similar.
Big the Midwestern states.
They
do have, even in the Dakotas, within each Dakota have their own personalities. Northern versus Southern Missouri is a whole thing. So that was also kind of fascinating to learn about, is within the states where the differences are.
Right. It's nice to see maps sometimes where they say, okay, this is, they say soda here and they say pop here. It's always interesting to see those. So you're talking about the fact that you've got this nice little two-page spread for each state that you cover. Were there any surprises for you when you were doing the research to put this information in there?
Well, I loved looking up cool stories that I found. So there's a battle in Minnesota has this burger called the Juicy Lucy, and there's a battle for who started it. But also Nebraska is in like a little tiff with New York over where the original Reuben sandwich is. So these like historical battles for well-known cultural entities I found really interesting. And then also there's a section for famous people from each state. But there's also this kind of other category that I felt I had to add of people who spent time there, like meaningful time there, so it counts. And so to find out like exactly where everybody's from, where it's like, you know, Brad Pitt was born in Missouri, which is very cool. But then there are other people where we thought that they were born in Kansas City, but they're actually born in Texas or like these other spots. And like the new Barbie movie trailer just came out and she is canonically Wisconsin. She's a Wisconsinite. Did you know that?
I did
from
not
a made up
know
place in
that.
Wisconsin called Willows. I know.
Saw that was Barbie and I'm like, I don't get the connection, but thank you for clearing that up.
Yes, she is canonically from Wisconsin.
All right. Well, now we know. So we'll expect to find out where Barbie's dream house is located in Wisconsin.
She got a great deal.
I'll bet she did.
That's why she could afford a dream house.
That's right. That's right. Because we are affordable here in the Midwest. And you have for Wisconsin, you have the recipe for a Wisconsin Old Fashioned, brandy, of course,
yes,
not whiskey. So how do you know this is the recipe? Did you do some check-in on that?
I did some check-in. I did some research, and I have a lovely team of fact checkers that get the glory and the blame. No, absolutely not. I take full responsibility. And so I went through a couple and sort of found kind of the most consistency across the recipes. Mm-hmm. So this is, and then I worded it myself to be a little bit more like clear.
Yes.
To folks who might not understand, but to me, the topper options, the sweet, sour, press and soda, was something I had not learned. I'm not a big dark liquor person. So this was a whole new world for me. And then all of the pickled stuff yes. was something that I learned, which is great.
Yes. And the Bloody Marys with all the stuff that they have on there, too. That's kind of interesting also.
Those are feasts.
Oh, my gosh.
When I was in Milwaukee when I was writing the book, I went on like a little road trip.
Oh, cool.
And I did walk past some of the brunch places, and I have never, you know, been one to order only a drink for breakfast, but you could with a Wisconsin yes. Bloody Mary. You just, that's a good snack.
Oh my gosh. They have eggs. They have sliders. Anything you can think of. I can't believe that the glass just doesn't tip over. So
it's a physics miracle is what it is.
It really, really is. And I have to tell you, you know, we like to poke fun at ourselves, and you did a wonderful job of making it funny, but not like, you know, oh, you guys are, or something like that. So it's really fun to read.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad. You know, I've described it as sort of doing an impression of your mom, where it is to show that you see and that you love and that you appreciate, but it is all done in love and recognition. And that's where I think, you know, it's fun to read if it's fun to write, and it feels loving to read if you're full of love when you write it.
Absolutely.
And that is 100% how I felt.
I agree completely. We're talking with Taylor K. Phillips. She's the author of the book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. What's your favorite Midwestern phrase? What makes Midwesterners special? Join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234. And we'll be back right after this look at the news. This is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we're talking to Taylor K. Phillips about her book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. Taylor is an Emmy Award-winning writer and comedian, and originally from Kansas City, Missouri. Are you wondering what some of those Midwestern phrases really mean? Or do you have a phrase that you like to use? Please give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. A real Midwesterner, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So, Taylor, let's talk about Midwest nice.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So what do you think about that?
So I think that it is a misnomer, kind of. I think that Midwestern nice is used sometimes by coasties as a way to mean passive aggressive, or as a way sometimes it has two meanings. One is that one implies that we're lying all the time. And the other implies that we are some kind of superhuman, like, ducks with everything rolls off our back and we don't internalize or feel anger or sadness or anything like that.
Sure.
And I reject both of those. and I think it is like where we live, somewhere in the middle. And the book itself and the original humor piece that it's based on, you know, I give a line, something that we say, something like he or she is a character, right? Which we yes. all know in the Midwest means, whoa, off the wall bonkers, like,
yes.
like watch out. But when I translate it, I do add at the end, you know, I'm having coffee with her this week. So there's, or, you know, those kids have a lot of energy means those kids are monsters.
Yes.
But the Midwestern nice part of it is, and I babysit them for free.
Yes. I love that you ended that with every description with, but that's okay, basically.
Right. And I think that that's the nuance that kind of discussions about Midwestern nice have been missing, which is, you know, oh, you know, he's certainly a bit friendly, right?
Yes.
It doesn't just mean he won't shut up.
Mm-hmm.
It also means, you know, thank you for reminding me. I got to bring his coffee when I walk into
it. Right. Right.
So that's it's the duality there.
It really, really is. So let's just talk about how the book is kind of laid out and how you separated each item. Talk about that.
Sure. So I have, it's divided into different Midwestern conversation sections, which is kind of the meat and potatoes of the book. So we talk about, we do the basics, we walk through you betcha, we walk through yeah, no, no, yeah. But then we've got arriving. So how do you show up as a Midwesterner? What's the difference between, hey there, how's it going? And, well, they'll just let anybody in here now, won't they? Which is the Midwestern, which is the way that Midwestern men say I love you to each other, is basically the thesis.
I've heard
there.
That so often.
It's,
oh my gosh.
So
I've used
sweet.
It myself.
it's such a sweet, it just is like such an affectionate teasing phrase. And then we walk through dining, home tours, how we talk about relationships, both our own and sort of how we the real version of Midwestern nice talk about other people's relationships. You know, what's the difference between he's a doll and have you met him yet? Have you met him yet being, I want to gossip with you super bad, but I want to hear your unfettered, unfiltered opinion. So I don't want to taint you if you haven't met him yet.
Yes.
And then we walk through shopping, and sports, a very important one to me, the youth, college, and professional sports that we all invest so much of our lives.
It's like a religion, Taylor. Just say it. It's like a religion.
It's its own religion. and then also within that, travel, weather, and then eventually leaving the Midwestern goodbye, which I understand in true Midwestern form should be an entire half of the book.
Could
but it
be.
Is
yeah that's
it is
true.
Unfortunately only the end
and yes you left it at the end that was great
at the end. And then a couple of little like so that has phrases in there and they're sort of Midwestern translations but then we've got a couple a little special you know a guide to finished basements I wrote an ode to the garage fridge you know yes. A couple of little things specifically in there along with as we discussed the state profiles. One for every state. If you are from the Midwest, your state's getting a profile. I'm not saying we put in Nebraska and that counts for Michigan. Everybody gets one.
And the UP is included in Michigan because a lot of times they just take it out. So.
Yes.
And I have to say that I think that's probably the only poem in existence about a garage fridge. And it was certainly needed.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope it doesn't stay the only. I hope that it inspires generations of Midwesterners to craft
shall.
their own wordsmithing about our beloved beer, pizza, and ices stockpile.
It's definitely another book coming for sure.
Yes,
and we do have a call from Dennis in Two Rivers. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Joe. I just was thinking about how the geology affects what people say. Like, for instance, I would say to my dad, well, gee, my friends are, and I want to go to a beach. Would that be okay? And my father would say something like, well, your friends are all going to jump in a lake. Would you do it too? Well, yeah, that's an option. But, yeah, I mean, there's lakes, so, I mean, what are they going to say in a desert if your friends are all going to jump in a sand dune?
Okay, Dennis, thank you. What do you have to say about that?
Well, it's and it's so funny because like some jump in a lake. I just heard the general jump off a bridge.
I heard
like
cliff.
If your friends are all gonna
I got
off
the
cliff. So it is to Dennis's point. It is mm-hmm. so geographical the way our parents teach us to fight against peer pressure.
But it's all the same, basically. So
we're a lot of jumping that we shouldn't be jumping.
Yes, exactly. That's so funny. So you were talking about the Midwestern goodbye, but you know you also have arrivals in here. So why don't you tell us some of the things that people say and what they really mean when they come?
Yes. So the Midwestern arrival is very specific because there's a lot to get through. The big one is, how was the drive-in? Because
yes.
Also it's the Midwest, so everybody's driving. You know, unless you're in Chicago, the only Midwestern place with abundant public transportation.
True.
So you're asking how the drive-in was, and you really want to know, you know, So that's tell me what's going on. The hey there, how's it going is a very Midwestern specific one, because we don't mean it as a perfunctory introduction where we expect them to just say, oh, great, thanks, how are you? We want to know how it's going. So if you say, you know, oh, can't complain, and you want to move on, that's fine. But also, if you're in the deep throes of an inheritance battle with your formerly estranged brother, and, you know, both of you are fighting with one another about who dad told not to jump off a cliff with your friends the most times, you know, we want to hear about that too.
Of course.
We're so coordinated. The other big thing about arrivals, especially in a home, is the shoe situation. So it's like, if you're arriving at someone's home,
yes,
it's like, is this a shoes on or a shoes off house? The thing about Midwesterners specifically that I find so interesting, and I've talked to a couple of people about this, is there's not one universal Midwestern rule of behavior. So the arrival period is, okay, what are the rules of this interaction? I'm in your home. Do I have my shoes on or off? Like, is this are we drinking alcohol at this party? Or is this like a soda and water type of deal?
It's important information, especially in the wintertime when you've got boots on. It makes it even more difficult. So.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, the other thing that I love about the Midwest is if you see a bunch of shoes by the door, people still ask.
Yes, they do.
They're like, oh, we taking our shoes off? They wouldn't say, oh, I'm taking my shoes off, because clearly that's what's happening. They would just say, we taking our shoes off? Which I love.
And I like the one, and I don't have in front of me here, but the one you're talking about, oh, you're a, my brother-in-law is a shoes-off house too, but it's kind of judgy in what they're saying, yes. Right?
Yes, there is a, my brother-in-law does that.
Yeah.
Which basically means I hate my brother-in-law. because otherwise you wouldn't say it so specifically.
Yes, for
You'd
sure.
You'd be like, oh yeah, my brother-in-law does that. He's quite the guy. Yeah, I think they're good.
He's a character.
He's a character. My sister really likes him. Yeah. That's the Midwestern way of saying that man would not be invited to my home if he weren't related to me.
It is funny because, you know, I hear these phrases almost every day and I don't stop to think about it. But how difficult was it for you just to accumulate all these, or have you been doing that for a while?
Well, it was. And that's so funny that you say that, because there's no way I could have written this book if I hadn't lived outside of the Midwest first.
No.
Because, you know, he or she was a character is the phrase that I heard that started this whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And it would not have occurred to me that is a specifically Midwestern phrase had I not sort of left the nest, so to speak.
True.
And the, you know, I wrote the book going through the Midwest, so I had a little bit of those experiences. And then my husband is went to school in Boston and lives in New York and is from Colombia, South America, the country. And so it was running stuff by him when I would be like, is this something that I say specifically that you did not hear a lot? Was a really great sounding board for figuring out what was just a thing people say and what was a very Midwestern specific way. And sometimes I would back into it. Like someone would say something in New York and it would occur to me, you would never say it that directly in the Midwest.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What would be our version of that?
Did you have to kind of interpret for your husband sometimes?
I mean, he's a very, very culturally literate person. He is also a comedy writer. So he almost more than me was able to say, well, when you say this, I know that it means this.
Okay.
So it's, but every once in a while, I will have to interpret or adjust my speaking for some of my other friends to say, oh, that, No, that person was very upset with you. but they're acting cool about it.
Yeah.
But they're very upset.
But they're very upset. Yes, it's kind of hard to judge sometimes.
Yes.
And as we all know, food is really important to Midwesterners. What are some of your favorite phrases about food?
So I love the Midwestern dance for where are we going to eat?
Oh my gosh, it's terrible.
It's awful. It's so bad, but also it's very amusing when you don't have to do it anymore. So I could go for some, like, the person who has the audacity to suggest something concrete, which in New York, I relish. But it was like, I could go for some pasta. I could go for Italian. That person wants Italian and they've been thinking about it all day.
Right.
You know, versus the, we actually had, you know, we had Mexican for lunch. That person is not, you're not getting Mexican. You know what I mean? But that instead of saying, no, thank you, they would just say, I'm giving you information about me and I'm trusting you to respond appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's all of the, I know there's, it gets into dad joke territory, which is a little bit more universal, but it's very Midwestern, this waitress, the server banter.
Oh, yes.
Where you clear your plate and you say, we hated it. Or, you know, you like just this and servers in their own respect have their own Midwestern way of communicating this, you know. Wow, you guys really enjoyed that. It has been 4 minutes. Everything is trashed. But so there's, you know, there's all these ways that we speak. And then, of course, when we're going to eat at someone's house, you know, put me to work. How can I help? What am I bringing? This is divine. All of the different ways that we communicate. I am here and I know that it is my job to both eat and enjoy, but also I am at your Midwestern service.
Yes, absolutely. If someone comes to your house and they don't offer to help, yeah, I don't like that.
No.
I mean, I don't really need them to help, but they have to offer.
No, they will not be allowed to, but they must offer.
They must offer.
You know?
Yes.
Like, well, I will reprimand them for asking, but I will seethe about them if they do not.
That's right. That's right. We got a call from Randy and Ripon who has something for us. Hi, Randy.
Hi. Yeah, I grew up around farming and that. You know, you brought up the, you know, you help. I mean, when we were out at my grandparents or aunt and uncle's farms, you didn't watch TV. But some of the things I heard said was like the lights are on, nobody's home, or Tony out changed like $1.380. Yeah, there's some other ones. All of a sudden, I lost track of my thoughts, but a lot of little things like that, you know.
Oh yeah, there's plenty
absolutely.
Of those.
and in sports too, the big one is like not as far along,
yes.
Right? When you don't want to say like a kid
they
is really
stink.
Bad at sports.
Yes. Not quite there yet.
Right, not quite there yet.
And we were talking about food, but you just totally nailed that Midwestern menu. I think most of the food places could just take it and just reprint it because.
That's one of my favorite ones is the
yes.
specialties.
Yes.
That is fajitas, fettuccine alfredo, some type of salmon, and then they serve mac and cheese there, but if you order mac and cheese off the kids menu, it is a different mac and cheese than the mac and cheese that you would order from the adult menu.
That's right, cuz it's more you know, a mature mac
right,
and cheese.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely.
Well, it probably has truffle oil in it or something. So
sure,
kids won't like that, right?
You know, made up lobster. Like I love you the Midwest. We're not fooling anybody with seafood.
No.
Like unless it's
fresh seafood.
Unless it's fresh seafood from a place. I'm from Missouri, so it's that doesn't exist in my world. But
yeah.
You know, Michigan, you can, if you buy certain water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you buy the Great Lakes, you're covered. That's,
yes.
Yeah, so you're good on that. But the lobster,
that's you gotta go a little further north and a little further east.
It might have been flowing in. You never know.
Right.
But
yes, fresh off the plate.
And another thing you talk about are finished basements, and I really hadn't stopped to think about that. We really do love our finished basements, don't we?
Oh, we love them. They mm-hmm. are, they're multi-purpose.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know, like, if do you have a finished basement? Is it, what is its purpose?
I'm finishing it. I've got a sewing area. I have a potting area. I have a laundry mm-hmm. area. I have a recreation area.
That's it?
Yep.
That's it. It's so much when it's carpeted. Obviously, like, I spent most of my time in the Midwest was as a kiddo. And so that's where you go downstairs, you play Truth or Dare. Like
right.
It's, you know, sometimes it's a sports den. Sometimes it's a
makeout den.
Yes, exactly. That's the, but you got to be careful. You know, we had there are some finished basements where the stairs go right into the couch area.
True.
A risk.
Very
big,
much so.
A big truth or dare risk. So, you know, there are ways to lay it out. But then there's also, that's where you keep all the Christmas or the Thanksgiving stuff, all the decorations that we hurl upon our homes in the best way.
Yes.
So yes, finished basements are, and they could also be the sports dens. That's where all the memorabilia goes.
Oh yeah.
If we're in kind of a sports cave situation.
Yes. So. Every time the Packers get a new quarterback, the old quarterback pictures get relegated to the back or the closet.
That's it. It's the Packer den. It's a whole other room of the house. It's also where during parties, like even as adults, if you want to have like kind of a real conversation and not get interrupted by everybody doing their Midwestern arrivals.
True.
You kind of like go and sit down and talk to the people you haven't talked to in a while.
Yep.
So a very important tenet of our culture.
Yep. And take the top or the cover off the ping pong table or the pool table, because you have to have one of those, right?
You got to have one of the tables. One of the tables are there. Maybe so every once in a while, a dartboard. If you're really like, those are the people, the dartboards are come with the people who have full stocked bars in their basements.
True.
Another level of yes. Midwestern basement.
Yes. Those bars were huge back in the 70s for sure, yes. 60s, 70s. Mm-hmm. They're a little neglected these days. I go to a lot of estate sales where, you know, there's good stuff down there. Yep. So
ours became, before they took it out of our basement, my mom just put all of her paint stuff on there.
Ah, perfect. Perfect. So, you know, before in the news we heard about is horrible tornadoes, you know. But my gosh, why are we so obsessed with them? We've got to watch them. We don't want to be safe in the basement. Heaven forbid.
No. Right? Well, because they're cool is why.
True.
Like,
true.
And they're inevitable. And I think something that's so wonderful about Midwesterners is if there is a choice between being angry and being interested, we will almost always pick interested. Yes. And it's the same way with or being kind of knowledgeable, being little know-it-alls. So when it's hailing, you know, we all love our facts. Well,
oh,
it can't rain
gosh.
And tornado at the same time.
Yes.
Or like if it's snowing, that means it's not actually that cold outside because otherwise it would ice. So the weather is just another opportunity for us to talk about the things that we know about where we're from with one another. And also like we like to be awed by stuff.
True.
Like funnel clouds are cool. They're they're terrifying and they're very dangerous.
But, yes, they are. But yeah, they are kind of, yeah. It's kind of funny we're talking about weather because it's such a huge point of conversation. And I know my friends and I was like, oh, it's going to be like 80 today. And my other friend was like, oh, no, mine says it's going to be 82. So we kind of compete about the information that you have. It's
so
funny.
And it's like, oh, well, which do you use? Like,
yes,
which app
right.
do you use?
What app do you have?
Right.
Yeah, because the iPhone
doesn't
work.
The sun will make it hotter.
It's amazing.
So just, and the wind.
If
the
it
wind
wasn't
will
for
be
the
there.
Wind, it would if be it really wind, nice.
It would be so nice. If the central tenet of what we were experiencing went away, we would be experiencing something differently.
That is
the most
true.
Midwestern way of looking at anything.
It is. And you know what, Taylor? Let's end it on that because it couldn't be more true. So it has been a joy to talk with you. And I hope you have volume 2 because that would be really fun.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet. I have had such a wonderful time.
I have too. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
We have been talking with Taylor K. Phillips. She's the author of the book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. You have to go and get this one. If you don't want to buy it, go to the library. But it's so much fun, and you'll really relate to it. Tomorrow at this time, Diana Alfuth will be back on Garden Talk to tell us what to do with your winter-damaged shrubs and how to keep the insects and weeds out of your garden. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well.